Recorded live at Podcast One, this is Geffen Playhouse Unscripted. And now here's your host, Daniel Bain.
In her number one on Amazon memoir, The Mother of Black Hollywood, she says, "I play Tupac's mama, Tina Turner's mama, Whitney Houston's mama, and the list goes on and on." The actress, singer, and comedian can be seen in her latest motherly role in the hit ABC show Blackish, where she plays the hilarious Ruby Johnson. She's performed in four Broadway shows, including Hairspray in the role of Motor Mouth Mabel. Having presented more than 200 concerts, performing in 49 states and on four continents, she received an electrifying standing ovation at Carnegie Hall when she sang with the New York Pops Orchestra. With more than 300 appearances in film and television, her accomplishments as an entertainer and community activist have been recognized with an honorary doctorate from her alma mater, Webster University in St. Louis, and the American Black Film Festival's Career Achievement Award, among many others. She is a fierce advocate of mental health, and she is indeed the mother of Black Hollywood. Jennifer Lewis, it is an honor and a pleasure to have you as a guest on Unscripted.
Well, it's good to be here. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great, thank you.
Good.
Your book is a page-turner. It's hilarious, it's heartbreaking, it's real, and you are talking about issues that have been taboo, especially in the Black community, mental health and sex. Thank you for your boldness and your bravery. You've worked so hard and accomplished so much, survived so much. Why write this book?
Well, it was time to give back. It was time to just, you know, when I saw the millennials lay down in the streets for the police brutality, I knew it was time to give them my story, to let them know that now that you've laid down, you have to get up and you have to keep it moving. And this book, I wanted to reiterate to not miss that step where you have to feel your feelings.
Right.
If you're feeling hopeful, feel that. If you're angry, if you're disappointed, feel those feelings. And then I stress self-care.
Mm-hmm.
You see, why be here if you're not healthy?
Right, right.
So it's time for me to tell the millennials and tell the world simply how I came through the fire.
Absolutely.
And I feel that the only right I really had to tell my story, to tell the world about my success, is because I have a smile on my face and I walk in my joy now, having gone through therapy 17 years twice a week.
Wow.
That's right. That's what I did because I wanted to be well.
Absolutely.
Now I am. I took those steps, talk therapy.
Beautiful. Beautiful. You know, people don't often understand the role that mental health can play in the lives of a lot of people, in entertainment in particular. And one of the things that we want to do with Unscripted, you know, you have such an illustrious resume, but we really want to talk about the heart and the soul of an artist. And how has your journey with your mental health and your journey to be well impacted your work?
Well, here's the thing. I was in the theater. I was on Broadway. And, you know, I mean, I was fabulous on stage. Mm-hmm. You know, I was on top of the world. But the depression would set in at night.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't know who you are, it's kind of impossible to create another person.
Right.
When I came out to Hollywood and that camera was right in my face, oh, honey, you know, you can hide in the theater a little bit because, but not in that camera.
Right.
That camera tells it all, the truth. It sees everything. So when I had auditioned for Peter Horton for 30-something, I literally had a mental breakdown, unable to even get the words out in the audition. And that's when I knew something was really wrong. And therefore, whatever was going on was stopping my dream. You see, that's why I always tell people, have a dream that will keep you alive.
Right, right.
So a good girlfriend said, Jennifer, something's wrong. And of course I protested. Mm-hmm. Me, mentally ill? Are you insane? I'm Jennifer Lewis. But through love and care, I listened and I went and took care of myself, because bipolar disorder or any other mental illness will eventually wear you down.
Absolutely.
And you won't be able to function in this world. And I found balance. I found peace of mind. And that's what we all want. You know, I could sleep at night instead of cry myself to sleep every night.
Absolutely. There are a lot of artists that are listening to this podcast, and a lot of them are pursuing their dreams. They know what it is they want to give to the world. And some of them are in that moment where they don't feel well despite their best efforts. How does someone in that position begin the journey to heal?
Well, I always tell people, you know, don't go into show business. That's number one.
Right.
Unless you love it with your entire molecular structure. Darling, this business is not for sissies.
Right.
Don't be rolling up talking about I'm going to be a star. People ask me, Jennifer, how did you become a star? I said, I never knew I wasn't one.
Right.
You have to be, it's something you have to give your total self to. Because when you audition, they're not rejecting something you drew or something you made. They're rejecting you.
Right.
You got to ask yourself if you can take that kind of rejection. And I'll tell you, I could, because every time I left an audition, I'd be like, well, it's your loss. You have to know you're that good.
How did you know you're that good?
How do you know you're that
good? How did you know?
Well, because I knew. See, I started very early.
Right.
I knew. I sang my first solo in church when I was 5 years old.
And brought the house down.
And the reaction of the congregation, there was like a tsunami of love that came over the pews. I was like, I put my thumb in my mouth, honey. I was like, I never looked back.
Okay.
I said, oh, this is life.
Right.
So see, I was one of the lucky ones. I'm not going to lie to you. I knew very early what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing was going to stop me, because, you know, my therapist called it soldiers.
Hmm.
You know, I had a gift at birth. I'm not going to lie to you, man. I've never done anything else. I had one job outside of show business, and that was my freshman year. After my freshman year in college, I toasted the buns at McDonald's. Come on now.
For how long?
About 2 weeks.
Right.
And then I burnt the buns, and
right.
They fired me.
you fired them. That's what really happened.
Honey, I later wrote a song called So Won't You Fan My Buns, They're Burning. Hey! My buns, they're, honey, I use that in the show.
Absolutely.
Listen, for those artists that are really considering this business, I really have to tell you, you better know what you're doing.
Mm.
Because see, now, when I was coming up, talent meant something.
Mm.
You know, with all this technology and, you know, the world of selfies and everybody's a star. Let me tell you the day I knew I was a star.
Hmm.
Truly.
Right.
It was the day I realized that everybody was one.
Absolutely.
You have to know who you are in this world. Being a star is about giving back.
Absolutely.
And basically just what it is, shining your light.
Definitely.
Shining your light. But you better know what that light is.
That's beautiful. I often say, similar to you, saying you have to have a dream, that purpose is the bridge past ego. And,
absolutely.
You know, and our purpose energizes us. And the other thing which I get from what you're saying, when you say we're all one, is that we are here from each other, for each other. And I heard you talk in interviews in your book about the moment when you started your healing journey, and a group of African American women and your therapist encouraged you to mentor Child.
Yes, I just talked to her, actually. She's driving to Vegas, God help me.
Okay.
But I met a little girl named Charmaine when 7 years old. As part of my therapy, these women who encouraged me to mentor a child. Mm. And I was like, once again, are you insane? But of course, I met her and loved her from the very moment I saw her. And I was her big sister for 5 years. And then her mother was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. So, and was unable to raise her. So I told her, I said, you know, sweetie, I don't know anything about being a parent, but I do know that I love you.
Wow.
And I got money so I can give you a good education.
Okay.
And I did. Right. You know, she's 30 now, and she's doing very well. And it was certainly the best thing I ever did with my life. So I always stress to people, go out and mentor a child if you have time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give back to the world. And I say to the millennials over and over again, and that's why I love that I wrote the book, because it's allowing me to say anything I want to about any subject, because I wrote about it all in the book.
Right.
I'm encouraging the millennials to get out and resist, you know, the forces that would take air to breathe from your great grandchildren. Let's face it.
Absolutely.
You know, we've got a lot on our plate right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad to have this platform to talk about mental illness, to talk about Blackish and the modern day issues that we're discussing on that show. I've never said in my life that I was honored to be in a show. I'm honored to be on Blackish.
Right.
The writers are the stars. When I get those scripts, I can't wait to get to set and just feel the oh my God, the work that's being done.
Absolutely.
The importance of the show.
Yes, absolutely.
They're dealing with everything from race relations to police brutality to from depression. Juneteenth.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Kenya Barris, you know, of course, sits at the helm, and he's a young genius. I met him when he was a young writer on Girlfriends, and we're like a family over there, and we're making a difference. And yes, I am honored to be on Blackish.
Absolutely. That's beautiful. Ruby Dee always said to me that humor is the cloud that carries message. I was really blessed. And, you know, you talk about the really unique position that Blackish is doing, talking about these very intense issues and with a lot of humor. And you're also a writer, obviously, with this book, which does the same thing. But you also have mastered the genre of the one-person show. And I first met you through a mutual collaborator, Charles Randolph Wright.
Absolutely. The diva is dismissed.
The diva is dismissed. What drew you to, or what draws you to, the one-woman show art form?
Okay, so I started doing one-woman shows back in college. You read the book. I used to do my little talent shows in the Catholic school basement.
Yes.
When I was like, you know, 11 years old, and the Kinloch, the little town I'm from, on the outskirts of St. Louis, the whole town would come and see me for 35 cents. So, you know, I continue that throughout my entire life. I am a one-woman show.
Yes.
It's just I've always have been. I never belonged in a chorus. Michael Bennett, who, of course, wrote, directed Dreamgirls and A Chorus Line.
Hmm.
He told me, I can't see anyone when you're on stage. Wow. I can only see you. And I understood what he was saying, because I'd had that kind of reaction all my life.
Right.
I just stood out. You've seen that video with that little black girl tap dancing.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Well, that was me. I can't tell you how many people sent me that video and said, here you are, Jennifer.
Right.
Little Jenny Lewis.
Right.
But no, I was always a standout. And It was actually The Divas Dismissed, directed by Charles Randolph Wright, that launched my career out here in Hollywood.
Wow.
It came at a time, the name of the show, once again, was The Diva Is Dismissed. And it came at a time during my therapy where I wanted to take off the mask I had been wearing so long. You know, that diva mask.
Right.
You know, that grandiosity, that omnipotence, that entitlement.
Mm.
Those masks that we wear to hide the fragility, the vulnerability.
Yeah.
All those things that make us human.
Yeah.
We put these masks on to face the world that we really don't have to.
Right.
And I just sort of got sick and tired of being sick and tired. And when you get sick and tired, you change.
Right.
So I took the mask off, and that's what that one-woman show was about, peeling away those steel walls that we put around ourselves, thinking, believing, and hoping that they will protect us. But I assure you, they will not.
Absolutely. That reminds me of the Paul Laurence Dunbar poem, "We wear the mask that grins and lies. It hides our cheeks and shades our eyes. We smile, but oh, great Christ, our cries to thee from tortured souls arise." And the other thing, too, is this idea, which you really are doing with this book. It's that our deepest pain is often the path to our highest purpose. And
absolutely,
this idea that we have to go into the pain sometimes, we have to feel it all in order to heal. There were a couple of moments in this book where I got extremely emotional and I had to set it down. And one is when you talk about the experience of being molested at five by
absolutely
pastor of your church.
You know, I want to say this before I forget. Yeah. I was watching an interview with Oprah, and I believe it was with RuPaul. I'm not sure who it was with,
right,
but I heard her say, "The deeper the pain, the higher the bounce."
Wow, wow.
And it's true.
It is
it
true.
Is true. If you just hold on and don't let the bulldozers that life can throw at you.
Right.
If you just don't let it get you all the way down, you will discover that it has made you stronger.
Right.
And yes, I was molested by the pastor of my church. And yes, I took all the steps to get that burden off of me. So often people will push their molestations down.
So this is part of, absolutely, this is part of why the book was so hard for me. So a lot of my childhood was a blur, and I would see 20 pictures of myself and I did not have any memories connected to those. And I had what I call sort of a daymare, which was this sort of shadow experience of something that had happened to me as a child. And it was in the process of my healing that I was able to then through therapy, I have the memories come back of being molested as a boy myself by a family member. And, you know, your audacity in talking about it is so powerful. But for me, too, the moment that I thought was so profound was your endeavoring to share it with your mom, and then also the letter that you ended up writing as part of your healing journey.
Absolutely. First, before I say anything, I want to say to you how sorry I am that that happened to you.
Thank you. I'm sorry for all of the young people that experienced that evil.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Here's the thing. The Me Too movement is very powerful because it's giving people permission to tell.
Right.
I say it over and over and over in these book signings. If you have been touched inappropriately, tell somebody.
Right.
Write it down. Not only tell somebody, tell everybody.
Yes.
Because sooner or later, somebody's going to believe you. And somebody's going to be compassionate and take you and rock you and say, "I'm sorry that happened to you." But then you must move on and do the work.
Right.
You have to do whatever you have to do to get it off of you and keep moving. Because, yes, it does paralyze us. You're frozen when someone does that to you, and especially as a child. So my first advice is just open your mouth, as hard as it is.
Yes.
You must open your mouth and you must tell. Tell everybody. Shout it from the mountaintop.
Right.
Because it was wrong. It was wrong.
Absolutely.
It was so, so wrong. You know, the author of the Vagina Monologues,
yes.
E. Insler. I actually did the Vagina Monologues at the Geffen. Was it the Geffen?
Yes.
No, it was the Cannon.
Okay.
In Beverly Hills with Swootsie Kurtz and Brooke Shields.
Okay.
And Eve Insler came out on stage at the Wiltern Theater once. It was V-Day.
Mm-hmm.
We're all there packed into the theater. And she came out on stage. She said, I want everybody in the audience who was molested to stand up.
Hmm.
I was like, oh my God. I mean, and a few people stood up. She said, I want everybody in the audience who knows someone who has been molested to stand up. A lot of people stood up.
Wow.
And then she said, and now, I want everyone who molested someone to stand up.
Oh, my goodness.
I was like, whoa, Eve Insler.
She went all the way there. Yeah.
No, she is powerful. She does not play.
Yeah.
Well, we were all standing up. The entire theater was standing up. And then she said, now have a seat, please. And we all sat down. And then she said into the microphone, ladies and gentlemen, we should not have to spend the rest of our lives recovering.
Hmm.
Dear God.
Hmm.
So she's a beast.
Yeah, absolutely.
She's a beast. You know, she's been all over the world, and I really admire her. But what I have to say to everyone, I got to chill.
Mm.
Tell somebody.
Yeah.
Write it down. I tell everybody, go get a journal. If you don't have one, go get one and just start writing. Don't do it on the computer. Do it with your hand.
Mm-hmm.
Get your feelings down on some paper.
Absolutely.
And it will lead you to where you have to go to get the healing. But start with looking in the mirror and admitting that it wasn't your fault.
Absolutely. And sometimes even it's even the courage to admit that it happened, which, you know, brings, you know, back to this idea that what you said, beautiful, the deeper the pain, the higher the bounce, you know.
And yes, honey. Yes.
You
come back, honey.
Yes.
Chapter in my book. I know you read it.
It ain't that kind of call. There's another word on that title.
MF. I'm trying to be nice.
Yeah, no, right.
When I confronted my molester.
Yeah.
You know, it was at the pastor of my church.
Right.
And he, when I called, poor thing, I had to get so drunk to make that call. I was so scared.
Right.
But there's a book, honey, called Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway.
Yes.
And that was me that day. I called and, you know, he was like, oh, we're so proud of you on television, Jennifer. I said, it ain't that kind of call.
Yes.
And I took him down, honey.
Yes.
And, you know, I will tell you, and as I said in the book, he did apologize.
Mm-hmm.
But it certainly didn't forgive.
No.
What he had done to me and so many other girls and women in the church.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So it's just, do I need to even say how sickening it is that so many men and women in power take advantage of people that work under them?
Absolutely.
It's so wrong. And let me tell you, baby, the tide is turning. Time's up. I said it on the carpet the other day. I looked right in the camera and spoke to 45. Nobody's grabbing us by the pussies anymore. You're not grabbing us by anything
right.
anymore.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this idea of full voice is something that I think is so incredible and so powerful. And I started a nonprofit a while ago called I Dream that lives at the intersection of the arts and trauma recovery, mental health. And we work with a lot of young people. And a lot of our young people are so brilliant and they're so challenged. But because of the trauma, they act out in ways. And sometimes it's just that fight. It's that resilience. And I know you talk about they called you as a little girl Crazy Jenny, but you had the fight in you despite the things that were going on and despite the things that are challenging.
Well, that's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping to do all of that with this book.
Right.
Mother of Black Hollywood. I gave it all up. Mm. I gave the molestations, the abortions, mm-hmm. the knife to my throat, the childhood abuse. I gave it all up mm-hmm. because I want the kids to know you can come through the fire.
You're right.
I want my book to be a tool mm-hmm. in the resistance.
Yes.
Absolutely. But it's self-care that is the first thing. You have to take care of yourself, even to be out there to march. See, my life is now 25% show business, 75% the resistance.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I there's so many things I want to ask you about. And I'm going to, you know, we'll wrap up here in a couple more questions. But what you're saying to me is so profound. And I just want to unpack that a little bit. There's two calls. It's the call to heal and the call to self-care and the call to feel all of that. That's one bucket. But then it's like once you have that, there's a call to activate and do something, you know, in a real way. And I want to go back to this idea that we're all one. And yes. I like to think about it in terms of the idea that we're all God energy. Each of us is a piece of the divine. And we have a unique imprint, a unique impression. And our call here on earth is to use our uniqueness to bring the divine, you know, to this
Absolutely. Realm. And that they know that each of us is important.
Every single one of us is important.
And that we're needed. And that we are worthy.
Right.
That we are all God's babies. Honey, ain't nobody better than nobody else.
Right.
Or worse.
Absolutely.
You got to bring it to the table.
Absolutely.
And like, I'm loving listening to Oprah a lot today, mm-hmm. These days, because she said, instead of asking, ooh, this is so wonderful. Mm-hmm. Instead of asking what's wrong with that person you see in turmoil, mm-hmm. that's acting out and carrying on. The question is, what happened?
Yes.
To that?
Absolutely.
So I ask people to find that compassion mm-hmm. where you not immediately judge a person you see who's out of control. A woman called me a nigger about a month ago. I couldn't believe it.
Wow.
But she was complete. I could see that she was insane.
Right.
So I walked away. Walk away from that kind of craziness. You know?
Yeah.
It's volatile out there. They're shooting babies that are just holding a cell phone.
Right.
Instead of seeing a human being, they see a monster.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And it's wrong. And it's all tied together. The best way to resist is to take care of yourself. That means walk away. That means eat well. That means get your sleep. That means have a passion and get up and make a difference in this world.
Absolutely.
Doesn't matter whether you're in show business. It doesn't matter what you do. Serve. Obama said, serve as a nation. Kennedy, ask not what your country can do for you. What can you do for your country?
Absolutely.
But I've been quoting Roosevelt. The only thing, because everybody's scared right now. Don't be scared. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Right.
What happened to America is we became too complacent. So now it's time to get up. And I'm hoping that my book, The Mother of Hollywood, will encourage, inspire.
It is doing all those things. And you know why? For me, that is the case. It's the removal of the mask. It's the opportunity, which artists have the unique opportunity to do what you're doing with this book, to be authentic, to be honest, to talk about our hollow places with an absence of shame, because we all have them. And oftentimes things have happened to us, or the things that we have going on that we're not aware of. You know, it's this idea, I say, of vulnerable leadership. You know, there was this moment, the pastors of the church, you know, the marquee leaders,
the priests, exactly.
Yeah. The idea, only some people had the direct pathway. Yeah.
There are 7.6 billion people on this planet. You are not alone. But it is your responsibility to have the courage and the strength to look in the mirror and say, I need help. See, that was after that dark night of the soul in Philadelphia when I was filming The Temptations. I looked in the mirror and I just said, that's enough now. That's enough. That's enough of the addictions. That's enough of the chaos. It's enough of lying to myself.
Right.
Somebody touched me when they weren't supposed to.
Right.
And I don't have to continue hurting myself just because somebody else hurt me.
Whew. That's so powerful. And, you know, that personal narrative is also a mirror for what's going on in our country right now. A lot of people are so focused on the chaos and the breakdown. But what it is, it's also that moment. We can look in the mirror and we can see the abuse that's happened. We can see the pain that's happened, and people can
speak
up.
The best way to resist is to take care of yourself.
Right.
Because, see, honey, I tell people and they say, oh, Jennifer, that's so arrogant. Oh, no, it's not. It's true.
Right.
I tell people I have had my day in the sun. And now I am the sun.
Yes.
And what I mean by that, is there's no shame in my game.
No. Shame is a trick.
I let my light shine. I'm 61. I don't care what people think about me. And I saved my money, so I don't need that either.
Right.
I didn't write this book to make money. I want this book to be a part of the resistance. I put my Me Too in the mother of Black Hollywood before the Me Too movement.
Right.
See, I was ready. Something horrible happened to me on the day my mother died. I found out my boyfriend was a con artist. That was a hard hit.
Wow.
But instead of, and yes, it hurt and I suffered. Yes, I did. But I had the courage once again and the strength to say, let me give this to the people. Let me say to them, it happened to me and it can happen to you. And these are some of the things you can do so it won't happen to you. Nobody believes that their house is going to burn down. Oh, yes, it will.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, it can. So be ye ready.
Yes.
Be ye ready for what's coming. So the fact that I gave the story of being conned to the public, I put it on social media. I broke the story.
Right.
Because I wanted to help people. But if I hadn't done that, I would not have had the courage to write the book. I wouldn't have been able to give so much up. I would have given some, but not all that I did.
Right.
So not that we want these horrible things to happen to us, but you have to understand, feelings never kill nobody.
Right.
Just feel your feelings, let it be painful, and then get your ass up and keep it moving.
Absolutely.
And I mean that. You get up and you keep it moving. Life is beautiful. Life is wonderful. Is it hard? Yes. Nobody promised you a rose garden. There are thorns. And you are no better or worse than anybody else. You are not special. God knows I had to keep saying that to myself as I was in my therapy. No, you're not special, Jenny. Now, you're cuter than most people. But but, you know, come on now. We have to do the work. I can make people laugh all day long.
Yeah.
And the book, The Mother
Black Hollywood,
it's funny.
It's hilarious.
But it's serious.
Yeah, it is.
Serious. It's serious. And I want, because that's been my technique my entire career, is just get people laughing, and then I stick them with that knowledge.
Absolutely.
And say, wait a minute, this over here, that ain't funny.
Right.
But even when something is not so funny, you better try to find some humor in it.
Absolutely. It's a survival technique.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have one last question for you as
yes,
we wrap
baby.
Up.
Yes, baby.
What would you say is the source of your strength?
The source of my strength. Nobody has ever put it like that. The source of my strength. Mm-hmm. I would have to answer, the source is the history of my experiences. That's all we are, baby. Experience after experience after experience. What did you learn? What did you get from it? If that particular thing that you did made you feel bad, why would you go back over there?
Right.
If it made you feel good, then keep it moving. Stay on that road. There are only two emotions. One feels good, one feels bad. And that's what we got as human beings, the ability to choose. So choose ye this day who you will serve.
Yes. Powerful.
And who am I serving? I'm serving the children.
Hey, always, always, and all the layers and the meanings of that, because
so the source,
serve
young
us.
Man, yes. The source is the soul.
Yes,
that's all it is. It's the soul.
It's the soul.
Are you giving back? Mm-hmm. Are you making a difference? Are you doing what Obama told you to do?
Yes.
Are you serving? Come on now.
Yeah,
you're standing on the fragile shoulders of Nelson Mandela.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing?
Right.
How fragile were those shoulders?
Mm-hmm.
Harriet. Mm-hmm. You think Harriet could get up and say to those slaves, ooh, I'm on my period today. I couldn't possibly go.
Right. Right.
You think Billie Holiday could go in and use the bathroom in those clubs that she was singing in down south? She couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
She had to stay on that cold bus.
Mm-hmm. Powerful.
So no, we owe as a people. We owe as human beings. I speak for all people. We're all God's babies. And yes, we are one.
Absolutely.
Like what RuPaul said, we're all one person.
One person.
Little cells of God.
Absolutely. And you know, that's scientifically proven.
You better ask yourself.
Absolutely.
Is all my cells dancing today?
Ah.
Are they asleep?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's so beautiful. You are living a life of service through your humor, through your comedy, through your soul, through your heart, your honesty. I'm just very grateful for this time. And for everybody listening, you know, please pick up this book. Do yourself a favor. It's number one on Amazon, The Mother of Black Hollywood. Thank you for your boldness, for your brilliance, for your beauty. With your life and with your work and now with your book, you're inspiring us and you're making us laugh and challenging us to see ourselves. And for me, it's a challenge to keep pressing towards our dreams, absent of shame.
But absolutely.
But in full awareness.
Go, honey. Let that shame go.
Yeah.
We are as sick as our secrets.
Yes.
Let go. Tell somebody and keep it moving.
Keep it moving. Thank you. You're a gift, and I'm really grateful for you. Thank you for joining us on Unscripted.
It was my pleasure, darling. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to Geffen Playhouse Unscripted. Be sure to download new episodes every Wednesday on the Podcast One app, at podcastone.com, or on Apple Podcasts. And don't forget to rate, review, and share the show on Apple Podcasts.
Podcast One Sports would like to congratulate Dan Patrick for his hard-earned Emmy nomination at this year's Sports Emmy Awards. With A-list guests from the world of sports, Dan Patrick brings you the inside scoop with a dose of humor.
People are going to bet on that game because they have to have a reason to watch that game.
Congratulations, Dan, and thank you for another year of the finest sports casting around.
This guy's got it.
Check out the Dan Patrick Show every weekday on Podcast One Sports and Apple Podcasts, and remember to rate and review.